Hello, rap fans. It's Richard Herring here. Thank you for listening to my podcasts, powered by Acast Plus. Do tell your friends if you think they might enjoy them too. And do come and see me on tour in my show, Can I Have My Ball Back? Go to richardherring.com/ballback/tour for all tour dates, going to lots of places in the UK. Some extra gigs added in London at the Leicester Square Theatre and the Bloomsbury Theatre. The Leicester Square Theatre first gig is very nearly sold out, so do rush along to those shows, London, if you want to come along. Some of the shows selling fantastically well, some of them selling pretty badly. Hello, Swindon. Do you know I'm coming to your town? Please buy some tickets. And I do have to give a trigger warning. I've done the show only a few times and 6 men have passed out. After the bit where I explain what happens to you during an operation for testicular cancer. So, are you man enough to handle my balls? Only come if you are, have lots of balls and are not scared of balls. There is some mild testicle trauma involved in this story of testicular cancer. It's mainly funny, though, and if you don't come, that means you're scared to come, and I'm going to judge you, so... It's like going on a fairground ride, so do come along. It's going to be very exciting to see if you make it through. I'll give you a badge if you make it through unscathed. Anyway, come and see the tour, richardherring.com for all that news. Some great Rahalastapas coming up, I have to tell you, in the next few weeks. The tour was a lot of fun. Thanks very much to everyone who came. Sit back, relax, and enjoy my stupid fucking podcast.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to another Rahalastapa. This week we've got the fantastic Do the Right Thing podcast team. They are awesome. If you enjoy these podcasts, why not come and see us live? Go to richherring.com/gigs and you can find out all about where you can see us. Edinburgh Fringe, London, and all over the UK, basically. And also go to rahalastapa.co.uk for more information, news, and if you become a member, secret news of guests before everyone else finds out, plus backstage videos, plus some of my stand-up shows, all for £3 a month, and badges and all sorts coming, so you're going to enjoy it. Let's sit back, relax, and enjoy rahalastapa.co.uk with Do the Right Thing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who's, if his career lasts as long as Nicholas Parsons, has at least 44 more years to go. Oh, fucking hell. It's Richard Herring. Thank you very much. I mean, Christ. God, the idea of doing another 44 years of this. Oh, dear. Anyway, welcome to the show. This podcast is called Richard Herring's Luke's Stupid Testament Podcast. It's all about... I don't particularly like the gospel according to St. Luke now. It's just picking that apart. His genealogy of Christ is not as good as Matthew's. Goes back further, but, you know, smacks are being made up. Though I was talking to Crazy Frog the other day. Remember the crazy frog? He calls it Rahalastapa. It doesn't go ding ding. That's just that's the character he plays. In real life, he's just a regular frog. Normal guy. So let's meet some of the audience, because I've done 3 podcasts already this week. Well, 4. So I haven't got any fucking stand-up material. I was scraping the bottom of the barrel with that wiggle stuff. What's your name, madam?
Anna.
Anna, are you new to the podcast front row?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you do for a living, Anna?
I'm a psychotherapist.
You're a psychotherapist. How's it going for me so far? Do you think it's all right? How much does it cost to come to you to be therapised?
£45.
That's nothing. I'll give that a go. Can you cure me? If you cured me, would I still be as funny as I am today? No, I wouldn't. Fuck. We're not even that funny.
And is this your friend?
He's my husband.
He's your very good friend. Your husband to be. Yeah. If you play your cards right, mate, don't mess it up. She's very lucky. I mean, you're a big man. You've got a nice beard. I'm just describing. You look a sort of like a young Stuart Lee in his fatter moments. He's done all right. He's done okay, yeah. What do you do for a living?
I'm a photographer.
You're a photographer. That's good, isn't it? What's your name?
Andy.
Ali?
Andy.
Oh, Andy, I was going to say. Ali's a stupid name. Andy, that's fine. That's all right. What is the best thing you've ever photographed? It's hard, isn't it, to kind of just pick one out of all the many things. Is it your own cock? Is it? Yeah, it is. You've got a long lens. Okay. I don't know enough about cameras to know if that's you saying you've got a small cock or a big cock. I don't know. Anyway, lovely to meet you. Thank you for coming along. I hope you'll come back. Did you come along for Nicholas Parsons or yeah, was that the reason you came? Yeah.
No, it was.
Why did you come to this one the first of all?
We need a Russian visa.
You need a Russian visa? I don't have those here, mate. It's not gonna work out. See me around the back. Who told them to say it out loud? So, thank you. Where are you going in Russia?
Moscow.
For your honeymoon. Bit of... For your brother's wedding. Wow, he's stolen your thunder, hasn't he? So, just be furious. You're going to have to think of somewhere really great to get married now, mate. Ali Andy. You're going to have to beat Moscow. Yeah, where are you going to... Have you planned where you're going to... Well, this is just for us. We won't put this in. Have you planned where you're going to get married?
Yeah, we're going to get married in a shed in the countryside.
You're going to get married in a shed in the countryside. Good. Yeah. I've got a shed. You can come there. Okay, so... Right, this week's guest. There's three of them. They've worked together, but individually, they're best known for writing additional material in one episode of Not Going Out. That is what one of them is best known for. For filling in for me on the Collins and Herrin 6 music show and appearing on this podcast once before when we couldn't get a proper guest to turn up. And someone who's best known for being the voice of a toilet on Things Talk is Daniel Ward, Michael Legg and Margaret Caborn-Smith, the Do The Right Thing podcast. Come in. Welcome. There's beers here. They thought of everything. They've literally thought of everything.
I said I was mocked for joining in with the Rahel Esteban that stage. I'm just very obedient. I noticed they didn't say it for me, though.
Did they not? No, they're weak, this audience. They're not as good as last week's audience, who are excellent.
So, hang on. You got off with Spike from Buffy.
This is what we just discovered backstage.
Yes. Yes.
Why have you never told us this?
I thought I had. This is like my best anecdote.
Spike from what?
You know Buffy the Vampire Slayer? I once got off with Spike.
Is he a nice-looking gentleman?
Yeah, I think he's pretty good.
He was
the blonde one?
Buff.
Yeah.
Buffish.
How far did you get?
Just tongues.
Okay.
Tongues on what other bits?
It was, I went, oh my God, that would be a great story. I went to see his band at the Scala years and years ago, and they were terrible. They had a song that went, I am German, you are Jewish, there can be no love between us.
No, I mean, that doesn't even rhyme.
Fucking hell, I absolutely regret bringing up Spike from Buffy. Fucking hell.
At least we wrecked his career, though, if he had one.
Yeah.
It's his words, like it's not your words.
Yeah. Nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
And,
but that would turn you on enough to snog him.
Just to shut him up.
So I got into the after-show party, and I was there with my friend Katie, and she said to him, oh, we really, really like Buffy. Can I have a snog? And so he got off with her, and then I went, well, can I have one too? And then he got off with me.
Wow, it must be great being really Spike from good. Buffy, wasn't it? That was his whole life. Yeah, okay, I'll do it, if you insist.
You must have had that, though, in the 90s.
Yeah, as often Stu was kissing girls, and they're going, what about me? Stu would kiss me. Wank me off with a ventriloquist dummy.
Is that a true story?
Yes. Why would I lie about that?
No, I mean...
How could you make that up?
He didn't actually wank him off.
Not fully.
No.
See, now...
the hand was too small.
That's very little...
That is... I mean, I don't know. I didn't see... I haven't heard last week's show yet.
Okay.
But did you ask Nicholas Parsons, like, when was the last time he had a wank? Because I couldn't help think, like, it's got to be a while, right? It has to stop. It has to stop, Richard! Tell me it stops!
You could stop.
No, I can't!
You could stop doing it now.
Yeah.
The fact that everyone's looking is egging me on.
It was amazing. You know, that's the thing. You've got to now follow Nicholas Parsons, admittedly a week
to
later.
To the grave.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone he's worked with is dead.
Yeah, yeah. He's going to outlive us.
So it's you next.
Yeah, I'm terrified. I mean, I'm glad because I just can't, you know, imagine having to keep working until you're 95. And I would have to. That's the thing. If I live that long, I'm still working. I'm still doing this. Even if it's just you turning up, which it will be. Just be him, yeah. It'll just be him. He'll be there. If he's old, you know, Ashley, if I get to 95, you're dead, mate. No offence. Anyway, yes, yeah, so what do you remember about, first of all, writing additional material for not going out? The party episode, I believe.
I did not write additional material for that episode. What happened was I was asked by Avalon to submit some ideas for not going out as a series.
Yeah.
And I submitted these ideas. And then suddenly one of the ideas I submitted is an episode of Not Going Out. Didn't get paid, but I did get that credit.
Wow, I've opened a can of worms. I had no idea. Last time I asked you, you only got credit because you were sleeping with one of the writers and
that
gave
was
them an idea.
TV's burp, yeah.
So that was your other best note.
That was my other best thing, yeah.
Michael Legg, how was it filling in for me on? I never listened to it on the Collins and Herring.
It was one of the best experiences I've ever had of basically feeling like I was waiting for a bus. I just sat there and nothing happened, and then nothing happened again and again. And then fucking Stereophonics played. I mean, Andrew's nice and all that, but yeah. I mean, I had nothing to do. And do you know what? The first thing that I was told is, oh, yeah, do you know what? Richard used to just come in and he'd constantly be on his phone, like looking at Twitter. And I thought, well, I'm never going to be that unprofessional, but I've never been that fucking bored. Yeah.
Were you that bored doing the Dave Gorman show?
Yeah. I mean, a little bit. Yeah, it was quite boring, wasn't it? Oh, I mean, again, it's all right, but it's boring just sitting there, isn't it?
Which is what we're doing right now. Constant wanking. Problem.
Why do you think it's a problem? I'm not doing it now, and I have not had one fucking thank you.
What about being a toilet on Things Talk?
That was actually a good job. That Things Talk was written by Stefan Goliszewski,
right?
Who wrote Mum and Him and Her.
And you
so yes,
toilet.
I was in the failed project of Stefan Goliszewski. It was an animated, like things in the house that were animated. Okay. And Leslie Phillips played a clock, and all they wanted him to say was tick tock, right? And he just kept going tick tock. tick tock, and they kept trying to say, can you just do it? And they couldn't quite bring themselves to say, can you just do it like your catchphrase?
Yeah.
And they just didn't, and they just abandoned it as an idea. Oh. And as he left, he went tick tock. Oh. Yeah, didn't have a clue. But
were you annoyed when you get on a Virgin train and hear that other woman pretending to be the toilet on the Virgin trains?
Yes, unless it is you as well. Myself. No, I wish it was.
Yeah.
No, I very much see myself as a...
You've seen those toilets on Virgin trains? We go, hello, I'm a toilet. I used to be in a public toilet. This is much better.
Yeah, I mean...
No, I really like going in the toilet if I've got diarrhoea. Because just the idea, they go, hello, I'm a toilet. I'm going, good. I fucking hope my guts come out at the moment.
Michael's angry. That's his role in the podcast. So let's talk about Do the Right Thing, because that's why you're all here together, which is a fantastic panel show. Not as good as Just a Minute on It goes out. There's a podcast. Nicholas Parsons didn't understand what podcasts were. He didn't realise this was a podcast until he got here. And then he said, how do people find what you're done? How do people find what you're doing on the internet?
Well, I go round to their house.
Okay.
And insist myself upon them. Yeah.
Well, it sort of is that. What is the premise? I've been on Do the Right Thing, so I know, and I've been listening to it all week. Mm. It's very good. But for the people at home who may not have heard of it, what is it and how does it work?
It is a panel show where I ask Michael and Margaret and two other people, what is the right thing to do according to our source material? Which, if you're trying to steal the format, is one of the important points.
Yes, it's very funny. And how many series? You've done quite a lot of series now.
I have no
I don't really
idea.
Understand how a podcast series works.
No. Yeah. Well,
surely
just,
you just fucking... No one's...
How many episodes
No one's making us record it.
Yeah.
We've done about 50.
I was going to say,
this is...
50?
I should say...
50? Fucking hell.
My producer, Ben, is on that podcast. He's the producer and co-creator of that podcast. Mm. And he chips in like that. That was... People who like the podcast have been very excited about that. How do you find working with Ben? Because I find it quite difficult.
Oh.
What do you think about him?
Don't ever take a phone call from him and then make him put it in email, because otherwise he goes on for ages. He uses up a lot of data.
Which is always good with a producer for a podcast.
Well, I think he's an absolute cunt. And if he... Now listen, if he edits this out, then that proves he can fucking edit. And why haven't you edited it doing the right thing? Cunt. Honestly, if that's not in...
Yeah, it will
be. That'll
be
in.
Yeah, sure.
Let's just say something libelous about him, like what he gets up to with Prince Andrew. But so far that is that has kept under the radar.
Ben and Prince Andrew have been that'll get cut out.
That's all right. That'll get in.
But they have been.
None of this is going out. No. So it's screwed. I said to you backstage, I listened to the pilot episode. I was listening to the recent episodes. And I thought I'll go back and listen to how this thing started, which is interesting because it's come a long way. I have to say it was good. It was good.
It's very kind of you.
It was good the first episode, but it's way way better now.
Well, I've literally never listened to an episode of it,
right?
Ever. But I'm saving it for a terminal illness.
Yes.
It'd be really nice as I lay dying in a hospital.
If you forget everything, then you can listen back to that and then, A, you won't remember it was you and you might find it funny, and B, it might remind you of your previous life.
Yeah. But I think, like I was saying to you, the thing about being able to do a podcast is, like, the first series was ropey, but we were sort of finding our feet. But if that had been... So me and Ben, I don't know if I said this last time, me and Ben got offered... £10,000. A comedian offered us £10,000 to buy the format of Do the Right Thing to sell to ITV Comedy. And the reason we said no is because we knew we'd get one series and the first series would be difficult. And so you need the time to work these things out, I think.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, even Nicholas Parsons, who's great, my mate, he was saying how the pilot of Just a Minute was terrible, like really, really bad, which Do the Right Thing is not terrible, it's just different.
Yeah.
It's just very different. But also because now you've really established the characters. I mean, it must have been hard having, like, two women on a panel show.
It must have taken
a long time to work out how to make that
work. It's a nightmare. And our boobs keep bumping into each other.
Everything is very tidy, though.
Is it, yeah.
Really
but
nice.
Thankfully, we've now established Catholic arsehole IRA.
It's like the Spice Girls.
Yeah.
But that's also
an IRA thing.
Yeah.
Literally anything to get rid of the veganism.
Yeah.
The IRA will get rid of the fucking veganism. Don't you fucking worry. And they're coming back.
Thanks to us. Thanks to...
Coming home. It's coming. The bus coming home. Come on.
Well, it's interesting. When this series started, it is an interesting point that I didn't mean to discuss. We assumed we were leaving the EU, the United Kingdom were leaving the EU on the 29th of March, which is in 4 days.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure whether we will have. By my next show's on the 1st of April. I'm not sure if we're going to be in the EU or not. It's quite interesting.
Extension.
People at home might know. Yeah. Oh, but thinking, right, we might just go for a notice. There's still a chance we could leave on the 29th of March.
Oh, yeah, they've got...
At the moment, that's amazing, isn't it? I mean, next week we'll know.
Can we ask them?
Yeah, somehow. We can. I think the people at home listened to this in 2027.
I just don't know yet. Nicholas Parsons isn't alive to see that. 4 days.
Okay. Well, me too, because it's, you know, it'd be great if he goes before my podcast comes out. It'd be really good. Yeah. Just be good for the podcast.
Yeah.
I had the goodies on. I thought, well, one of them's going to go.
Surely.
Got Barry Cryer coming up in about 3 months. Thinking, is it a mistake to book him so early?
I'm here.
Yeah, you're here. You're the oldest man from Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
They keep going, don't they? They keep going. I think they'll live forever. And prove me wrong. So you did try and do the right thing on TV.
Yeah, we did try.
We tried. Yeah.
Give it a go.
The camera wasn't on,
they forgot to put the film in.
What? We've never really discussed this, have we, as a group?
What were the changes they made when they took it to the TV?
They tried to make it look nice. And not all of us look nice, Richard.
No.
Margaret looks like a fucking pile of shit. Whereas I look beautiful.
You are beautiful.
Do you know what they did? They made me sit really far away from everybody else.
Right.
Which was
really great.
Yeah, it was great.
For us.
Like, so Claudia was in the middle, and then they made me sit, like, off, almost not on camera.
Yeah,
like
Claudia Winkleman was in it.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so what role did Claudia Winkleman play?
She was the host.
And then what? But you're the host, so what did you become?
Yeah, so I was just...
She was Richard Osman.
Right.
Yeah. Well, that was sort of the idea.
Gerry Adams played part of me. Yeah. He was amazing. Love that guy.
Do you know the thing that made... Like, I think it's because, right, Do the Right Thing's always... The reason it's really great is because we're all on it.
Yeah.
And what we found is... Whenever we pitched it, like, oh, so we're on it, all TV people would go, I don't think so. Like, the thing is, we are not famous enough to be on a thing. So
to be on our own thing.
To be on our own thing, yeah.
That's so the embarrassing thing.
It'd always be like, oh, we could buy it. It's a really good format. But if we buy it, they've got to be on it, and we don't like them. So unless they sort of engineered a plane crash, and it could be a tribute to us, it would have been very difficult.
Yeah, but
you've got
like,
a fan base who then watch it and go, oh, it's not what I wanted.
No, but what's good about it is the three of you and the fantastic guests you have, like me.
Yeah.
I've been on it. I was very good, and I'm coming on it again. So that's the point of it, and the relationship between the three of you, which definitely grows over those series. But that's, you know, but never mind the Buzzcocks when that started. None of those guys were famous. That's what people don't really understand. None of those guys were massively famous. That show made all those guys famous enough to have to not be on it anymore.
To be honest, I don't think any format is that amazing.
No.
You know, without the people on it. There was a show called Bring Me the Head of Light Entertainment back in the 90s, and Graham Norton, I think, was the host. And they thought, well, I don't know, I think that they thought that was a brilliant thing, and it wasn't. It was just Graham Norton was brilliant, and as soon as they lost him, it wasn't any good. I mean, I'm only half remembering this story, so it's not a great story. but I do think people get, and the idea, and it used to be that sitcoms didn't have to have mega stars in them.
Yeah.
It would be like Richard Briers, who was sort of famous, and then all the others were from theatre, and they became famous because everyone then associates the characters, you know, they're not going, oh, look, there's Idris Elba. They're, he's not here. He's not.
Damn.
I'm not Idris Elba.
That's that character that I'm learning to like The Office, you know. Yeah. That wouldn't have worked if it was...
Idris Elba is in The Office, though, so you have fucked that one
up. Oh, God, I know he is. American, American Office.
Yeah.
Very, very late in the rubbish ones.
I know, that's what I was referring to. I know what fucking reference I was doing. Don't fucking Twitter me.
But do you find this? Like you write stuff, right?
So I do.
When I write things, you kind of... you say, oh, I've got this idea, it would be really great to cast really great people. And then, especially if it's the BBC, they go, oh, can you put this fucking stand-up cunt in it?
Yeah, they do say that, yeah.
They do.
They don't give them names. They just point to the list they have.
But, you know, well, we've said, I mean, I've said this a lot on the show. You know, like the point you're making is The Office was successful without any names, and then the people become names. And people who choose TV programmes don't understand that's how TV works.
Yeah.
They want to kind of go to a shortcut that is a stupid shortcut. But I think with your show, fuck TV, who needs TV? You'll get more listeners as a podcast than you would viewers as a TV show. Unless you got on BBC One with it straight away. Mm. So, you know,
we weren't allowed to drink either, officially, and that was...
Yeah, do you know the thing that I found really weird is, so the thing that I love about Do the Right Thing is that I know that we can take the conversation to places that you... Like, I try and open up the conversation as much as possible as host. And when we did the TV pilot, we got into the area, I think it was like the Jimmy Savile thing, we touched upon paedophilia.
We touched upon
paedophilia. And I could hear the line producer saying, shut it down, it will never make the edit. And it's like, you know, I want to be able to... I think.
Why silence Jimmy Savile now? Too late.
I think because part of the problem is when you're doing a TV panel show, you're so aware of what's going to make the edit. You censor yourself, and you know that they don't want you to talk about it. Do the right thing. We just make it as fun as possible, and then if stuff has to get cut out, it gets cut out.
So I'd like to say, last night we did a Do the Right Thing recording with Joe Lycett, and he told an extraordinary story. And I can say this to this audience, because it's your audience.
Yes.
He didn't feel able to say it last night, but he basically alluded to it. But there's a nightclub in Birmingham with a dark room that you go in there and basically it's a dark room. You don't know who you're fucking.
Dancing.
Basically.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Dancing, yeah. Let's call it dancing.
Cheek to cheek.
And basically, Joe, there was a story about a guy who'd gone in and had basically afterwards discovered that he'd fumbled with his dad. Yeah. Now, afterwards, Joe said, what I didn't say, because it didn't feel right in Birmingham Town Hall, he sucked him off. Yeah. Yes. And what Danielle then said...
I'm sorry, but that is just manners.
What Danielle then said was, and I quote... I'd like to think I'd be able to sniff my dad out. You don't get that on Mockery.
How did they find out? How did it become apparent that it had happened afterwards, that they were leaving together?
Yeah, I don't know.
Is he tasted his own DNA. Yeah, he's, yeah. Bit me-ish.
You can't put that in my podcast. Like that's disgrace. That's disgrace. That has to be. That's going right out.
You really don't think you could
sniff my dad out? No, I don't know why.
But then again, late night Channel 4, I can see it working. Paddy McGuinness, what a laugh.
I didn't mean sniff his cock. I just meant his general scent.
Would you sniff someone all over before you plated them, just to be on there if it was in the dark?
Yeah, that is what it sounds like. Yeah. Like she's snuffling for trouble.
What does your dad smell of? Like rolled tobacco or something?
It's just like people have scents and you can...
Sweets.
Like, people smell of things and you meet someone, you're like, oh, that scent is very...
I think this I'm is not very the only... much a, this is just you.
You're not the only person that knows what your dad smells like.
It sounds worse than I meant it to.
But anyway, I think it's better for you to do it. It's a better show for you all to do it, and it's a better show for you to do it on your own, and then you can talk about things like that if you want to.
Yeah, I mean, it truly is a better show for not being on telly, but also we don't earn any money, which makes a big difference, I think.
Nah, money's for fools.
Yeah, it is for idiots. But I wish that we could somehow... have the pilot so that we could sell it just for a fucking laugh. So you can see what we would be like doing Do the Right Thing in church. Honestly, it was like we were playing the part of ourselves. It was weird.
Yeah, it
was more like a sort of Take That concert.
They made it look really good.
Yeah.
And we like it to look disgusting and grimy.
It was so bright. The lights were so bright. That's the only good thing I can say, but the lights were so bright. That it took like 10 weeks off me. Maybe.
Well, I think you can put. You should be able to put it out. If you've not got a copy of it, can you put it out online?
I don't think we're allowed to.
You're not allowed to?
No, it's owned by China.
It's the internet. Fuck them. Yeah. It's the Wild West. Someone you can say whatever you like about Prince Andrew and it can't be beeped.
No.
A man hacked my computer and now it's online.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it.
It's not that good. Okay. I mean, it's totally
no, that's...
Is it?
There we go. It was good. It was good.
I mean, it was good. I think it was good.
Do you know what? It's good compared to a normal TV panel.
Thank you. There you go. Oh,
thank you. That's really
do you think Claudia Winkleman should do the podcast version as well?
No.
No. She was lovely.
She was lovely.
Isn't her hair amazing?
You still think Jerry Adams should stay in it, though, right?
Yeah.
He was really lovely, wasn't he?
And actually, a real laugh backstage.
It's a very educational show, though, I think, as well. That's the
we learn so much.
We do. It's incredible. So you're trying to solve... I mean, I think when I was on... All I remember is I had to come up with ways of stopping someone having an erection or something like that, which I knew
you
about.
You did,
I
yeah.
Did, I knew about...
You knew too
with
much.
A hammer. I did. You have to hit it with a pencil.
Sure.
I know a lot about it. And now, you know, you listen and thinking, oh, I could have told you about that particular thing as I'm walking my dog and thinking about it. So what's the best expert you've had on, do you think?
Can't stop thinking about really hot women hitting my penis with a pencil.
Put it away.
It would make you flaccid.
We have done a mini tour this week and we were in York and our expert was a Viking expert.
Oh, yeah.
But he was the perfect balance. He wasn't trying to be funny and he was really... But he really knew his stuff and he was like, I'm going to... give you some information about Vikings. And he was great, wasn't he?
Kills me. Yeah, he was. He was great.
Him and the Fly Lady.
Does he work at the Jorvik Viking Centre?
He does.
Obviously he does.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great there.
Yeah. John Ronson was a...
Was he?
Was he
an expert?
Yeah.
What was he an expert on?
Psychopaths. Oh. That was really good.
Yeah, it's not...
He said I was one. Ridiculous. He said, psychopaths have got such a strong work ethic, and also, I think Michael's one. I went, hang on, those two things don't... They're so far apart. What the fuck are you talking about?
Also, we've had Matt Osman from Suede on. That hasn't gone out yet, and he was my favourite expert.
The only trouble with having Matt Osman from Suede on is that we were all a bit in awe of him. And so
because
we
he's Richard Osman's sort of, brother, right?
Yeah,
so
exactly.
That's what's exciting about him.
Surely your second favourite. What about the bloke you tried to shut?
Yeah, I got really drunk and flirted so badly with Rick Smadder, our gadget.
He's not
expert.
In, is he? You're not in, Rick.
I think I heard that one. Is that quite a recent one?
Yeah.
Mm. It was nice, it was sweet.
Mm. Been in a relationship for 8 years.
Try not to record it if you're going to be on paper. That's why that's... Well, if you record, you can record it, but don't put it out, on the internet.
Well, you know, we've got Ben. We didn't think anyone would...
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I'm going to ask you some emergency questions. We had some fun backstage with these. This would be a good thing for your quiz show. You could put some of these in.
Oh, yeah, I could do that. Or my Radio 4 show, which is basically that.
Yeah, you just copied me, haven't you?
Copied you before you did it.
Yeah, that's right. If you had to bum...
This was not on your Radio 4 show.
Either with your genitals or a dildo... One of the main characters in the TV show Red Dwarf.
Oh, I love that question. If you had to,
who would you bum and would you use your genitals or a dildo? And remember, it's the character, not the actor, that you are bumming.
I honestly find it really hard to bum people with my genitals.
Yeah.
It's really tricky.
Okay, so maybe you'd go for a strap-on dildo.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
I used to have quite...
I thought you were going to say, I used to have a strap on dildo. When I was like
14, I had all the Red Dwarf magazines, okay, and I used to cut the back page out and put it on my wall. And I was very strongly sexually attracted to Chris Barry.
Were you?
Slash Rimmer. Yeah, oh my God.
As Rimmer.
I really fancied Rimmer. Rimmer and Christopher Reeve as Superman were my two favourites. And I used to imagine lying on a sofa.
Just
be careful.
With either or of them making love to me.
Wow. Yeah.
On either the sofa. You couldn't even imagine a bed.
Sofa seems telly, sexier, yeah.
Yeah.
So I would definitely bum Rimmer.
Rimmer. As a hologram or as a human?
Oh, as a hologram. He grew as a character as a hologram. Yeah. It really upset me that they reset his character. The character of Rimmer grows so brilliantly over the first 7 series and then series 8. They undo all that, so...
I agree. It goes off the boil.
Goes off the boil.
It starts... I'm going to come to you. Don't think you're out of this.
Don't worry.
I knew you haven't given an answer. It starts quite badly. The thing I don't like about Red Dwarf, and this is also true a little bit of The Orville, which I do like... is there's a lot of references to the time that the show is made rather than in the future. So the Red Dwarf, all the punchlines are things from the 1980s, which I don't think in whatever year it is anyone would give a fuck about. And it would be a better show now if they hadn't done that as well, because we don't remember any of the fucking shit they're talking about. Claire Grogan is the one I'd go for.
Not a main character.
The actress.
Yeah.
What's her character name?
Kachansky.
But halfway through I go, this is... I don't care about the character.
Oh, I really
start
want
as
to...
the character and now it's you, Claire.
I really want to bomb Mark Williams.
I tried to get off with Claire Grogan at a party in Edinburgh once. She was very sweet.
What did she say?
Well, no, fuck off, no.
Sounds really sweet.
I'm married.
Who's the most famous person you've tried to get off with?
Does that mean tried and succeeded?
No, tried and failed.
Tried and failed is more fun.
I've got a brilliant one.
It might be Claire Grogan.
I bought Carol Decker from DePauw a drink once, and she didn't even sleep with me. Right?
Did you try to get off with her?
Yeah.
I didn't buy Claire Grogan a drink. I mean, there must be more than that. I can't remember. Give me some time and I will come back with a lot of failed. There was a girl who used to be in loads of adverts, called Rachel, and she was...
The advert's called Rachel.
Yeah. I think she's in one for Britas Filters. And I wrote about her in The Guardian, about fancying this woman from all these adverts.
You do that all the time.
Yeah, and then she came to Edinburgh. And then I got a note in my Pigeonhole. I said, oh, it's me, Rachel, blah, blah, blah. And I went up to her and said, oh, hi, it's me. And she just looked at me like she didn't know who I was. So I think someone had put like that note in my Pigeonhole so that I'd go and go, hey, it's me. I want to go out.
It's ironic because you've got no filter.
Trying to think of any other famous people. I mean, I just had sex with them all. Didn't try, they just came on to me. Who's yours?
Famous person to get work. It's probably Spike from Buffalo.
No, that you tried to get off with and failed.
I've tried to get off with anybody famous. Oh, do you know what? The bass player from 60 Foot Dolls. When I was 17, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he tried to invite me back to his hotel room, but I was a virgin, so I was really scared. I hadn't shaved my legs.
Yeah. Bloody virgins.
I had a bad bra on. So
did you lose your virginity when you were 22 years
22
old?
22 years
that's
old,
that's
yeah.
astonishing.
Mm. Really?
Yes.
I was 21.
Were you?
That's less astonishing,
yeah,
thanks.
Makes sense.
It's 1 year less
fucking
astonishing.
Fucking rude.
How old were you when you lost your virginity?
17 in
that's
a car park.
That's
in a car park in Newtonards.
I was 19. Depressing. I was nearly 20. So we've nearly got it covered.
Yeah, it's bad.
How did you get to 22? I'm 21 new, I understand. How did you get to 22?
You're clearly a slut.
Once you got to 22, though, you might you think, well, I'm never going to do it. How did you overcome the fact that you hadn't done it yet and then do it? And why did it take you till you were 22?
Well, because,
is it a tragic story?
Genuinely, no one fancied me. Or if they did,
bad bras. Not shaving your legs.
Bad bras, not shaving my legs. Podgy.
Me also.
Didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah,
had
me.
Never touched a willy other than my dad. No.
Sniff it out. I'm really pleased that I'd seen my dad's willy before I saw...
What?
I've been in the bathroom when my dad was in the bath.
Sure.
And I'd seen it. And,
that's fine
and,
then.
That's not that weird, is it?
No, I saw my dad's.
Yeah.
Just wandering around.
I saw your dad's as well. That's not weird at all.
But I was appalled, don't get me wrong, but it was a relief when I then
Small.
Saw one of somebody I was trying to, you know, that I fancied and, you know, that it might... might be used. Weird phrase, but you know what I mean. Because they're horrific. They're horrific.
They are horrible.
So it's really good to have kind of gone, okay, that's what that's like yeah. on an old man in a bath.
Imagine if you've never seen one before and then it's just presented in front of you.
Yeah.
I don't know what you...
It's a wonderful gift.
Oh, it's like when, you know, when cats bring dead birds to you. Really?
Don't you see it?
It's a lovely gift for the family.
It has too much skin. Just look at it going, there's too... I don't know why it's
there
got so much skin.
There needs to be some so that it has something to grow into.
Well, no, but exactly. If you've
it's
never seen an erect
when it's,
one, you're like...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The erect ones are best.
Well, not always. Not if you've got to live with it. Not if it's always erect. It's kind of good that it telescopes down. Whoever invented it really thought it through. It's good. It's good that it comes down most of the time, just for weeing mainly.
Yeah. Mainly.
Yeah, mainly for weeing. Imagine you have to wee with an erection all the time. It'd be very difficult.
You'd Can't use you just this... like force it down?
Not these days.
No, also, if you want me to come on as a penis expert and do the right thing, there's a thing that shuts off your urine when you have an erection, so that your urine, because your urine would be a spermicide, so you can't, you sort of can wee, we've got an erection, but it's much harder.
Oh, like a train track.
Yeah.
Flip the lane.
Have you ever tried to wee with an erection,
like,
Michael?
I mean, pretty much every morning. What the fuck are you talking about?
Where does
well,
it
it's
go?
Impossible. If you can do it, there's something deeply wrong.
Oh, shit, there must be. I'm absolutely terrified.
Your sperm have all been killed by urine.
Oh, I've got no problem with that.
Okay.
I don't want that going anywhere.
None of us do.
None of us do.
Good question. Did you give an answer to which red dwarf character you'd like to bum, Michael? Because
I'd as a keen animal lover.
Yeah.
I'll go for Holly.
Okay. As Norman Lovett.
Norman. Or, okay, yeah. I'll be fumming it nice and slow, keeping it low.
You have to do his mouth.
No,
yeah,
bumming.
I'm going to bum his mouth.
Specifically bumming. Listen to the question.
The character of Holly in Red Dwarf does not have a bum.
Might do somewhere down there.
Yeah. You don't know science.
It might be a bum on the back of her head.
No,
that's the worst thing.
It's not canon.
That woman has sat through you talking about sucking your dad's cocks. And it was only when you put a bum on the back of someone's head, you went, no! No! What madness is this? I have a bum on her head. They're only a head. Right? They must never defecate. In the neck hole. That's how you do. That's that cancer's...
Sure.
That cancer's bumming. Do you think you would have made a good sheriff in the Wild West?
I don't think there's anything I'd be worse at. they don't like diplomacy and sort of cowardice, do they?
No.
No, those are my two things.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I would have done because I am a woman that is fuelled by vengeance.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. Danielle is, she's a keen bridge burner.
Yes.
I would say that. It's something I love about her.
Yeah.
Do you think you've been a good sheriff?
No, and I'm scared of Danielle.
Dan, if there was a sheriff that do the right thing, it would be you then.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of are.
Also, I am from Nottingham.
Yes.
Famously home of the sheriffs.
Yeah, the sheriff of Nottingham. Of the evil, terrible sheriffs.
It's the home of the worst sheriff
ever.
You wouldn't be the worst sheriff of Nottingham. And the Tales of Robin Hood is better than the Yorvik Centre. It's the same idea.
No, it used to be. It's shut down.
I know
now.
It's shut down. Yeah. Believe me, I've talked about this a lot.
Oh, wait.
And if anyone comes from Nottingham, I give them a right earful.
What, like, for not going enough?
For not going enough to their own.
To keep
if
it
I lived
open.
In Nottingham when that was on, I'd have been there every fucking day.
You didn't smell of anything. Like,
did there was some smell of poo
in
there?
No, the thing that we found out from the Yorvik Viking man was when they dug up the bones of Vikings, there was a distinct smell that came out of the floor.
It's Danielle's dad's cock.
And they used that smell to permeate the Yorvik Viking Centre. Whereas if you go to the Robin Hood Tales, what smell?
Smells of Tesco's now, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does that.
Tesco's.
There was no amazing smell. You didn't... Like, this is what I mean. Scent is very strong for the memory. This is how I could tell my dad in a dark room in a gay club. It's because...
Memory of your Viking times. No. Oh, I remember now when I was a Viking skeleton. Thanks for digging that one up for me. Yeah. I remember when I did a poo in Viking times. Whoa!
As a youth visiting Robin Hood Tales...
Tales of Robin Hood, get it right.
Tales of Robin Hood. There's no strong smell.
Yeah.
So I can't sign a petition.
So is that what you say on all of your guest books when you leave? This place didn't smell at all. I will not be returning.
You know what? If there's a really good smell, I'm more inclined to support the...
No one knows what Robin Hood's poo smelled like because he's a fictional character.
Well, maybe that's their problem.
Yeah. There was one in Oxford called The Oxford Stories. I just like going around on mechanised things around a thing with bad dummies on it. That's what I like. And I think Nottingham one was best. The people here, I've lost them. Lost them. They're not interested in that. And that's what's wrong with the young people today. All right. Have you ever been on a plane that's been in an emergency and seen a genuine look of fear on the face of a flight attendant?
I have, yeah.
Have you?
The first time I ever went on EasyJet, I had a really... I mean, it opened. That's not how things happen. The flight attendant got on and he was about to do his little safety
dance.
Thing.
Dance.
And the pilot said, and today our flight attendants are Amanda and Gloria. And we were looking at this man and he was going, ah! I was like, I find it funny that the pilot doesn't know who's on his plane. This is this man. And then it was pretty much flying through a thunderstorm for half an hour. And, you know, they always say, look at the flight attendants' faces. And they just both looked just shit scared for half an hour and were strapped in just like that. It's horrible.
Do you think they'd have training to stop them doing? I mean, I've seen it.
Not on EasyJet.
I've had it as well. When you can tell. But yeah, I guess you can't, when you think you're going to die, you can't hide that fear.
I went to Orlando, Florida, because I'm cool.
Yeah. It's nice.
And when the plane landed, I was asleep, completely asleep, like for about 6 hours on the flight. I was that cozily drunk. And when I woke up, when the plane landed, I was like, oh, brilliant, we're here. I missed the whole thing. What a brilliant way to fly by not really experiencing anything. And everyone around me was crying and hugging one another. When, honest, I know what happened. No, we just thought we were going to crash. I mean, everyone, and I was like, I missed this! I missed this incredible bonding sensation that the entire flight... Oh, for fuck's sake.
Do you know, that probably would have made you more ambitious.
Yeah. Good.
Staring face in the death, you probably would have... Staring death in the face would probably have made you go...
Face death every freaking day. Will he look at me? No, what a chicken. Pussy.
What's going on?
They've gone crazy. Margaret, why are you working with these two? Because you've done loads of really good stuff, and like you've been on Catastrophe, Psychoville, the Katie Brand Show, that's Miranda. John Finnemar, you've worked with me.
I mean, for someone who absolutely no one has heard of, I've got a great CV. Yeah.
Do you remember working on?
This more than any of it.
Do you remember working on A Very British Cult with Richard Herring?
I do.
We did a film together.
Yeah, we did a film. You were the star.
Did a film? What film's this?
Short film, A Very British Cult.
Hang on, short film is not a fucking film.
It is for me.
Oh, look at this film. It's a photograph. It's a short film.
It was an acting role in which I didn't have to play someone who was using a prostitute or wanking in a bin, and it's a film.
What character did you play?
I played a man who was waiting, a leader of a cult who was waiting for the return of Jesus, and then wrote down some map coordinates in Marmite and had a vision. You'll have to watch it to find out what happened next. Miranda Hart was in it.
Alex McQueen.
Yeah, loads of people have done really well.
Didn't you want to be an actor, Richard Herring?
Probably not. Hard work, isn't it? I did want to start.
What do you want to be?
Yeah, what?
I want to be Nicholas Parsons. I don't
know.
Nearly dead.
I mean, you know, at some point, someone's going to be listening to this and we'll all be dead, including them.
I'm going to stop listening to podcasts when I'm dead.
Oh, yeah.
That's a real...
If you could leave them playing, if you feel you are about to die, could you just leave these playing
still
on
subscribe.
Repeat?
Yeah.
Subscribe and leave them playing and downloading, because then we get a very tiny bit of advertising revenue every time it plays. So if you don't like them, just keep leave them playing when you're asleep.
Have them playing out of your gravestone.
Yeah. This dead guy was a cunt. See, there we go. That's it. It backfires.
Do you want to be an actor?
I don't think I do anymore. When I started off, I did probably more than anything else, yeah.
But you don't now?
I just think there's so many good actors. I don't think there's very... I'm very limited things I can do okay, and it turns out to be...
I remember doing that film and the director telling you to stop smiling at everything.
Yeah. I wasn't very... I was really nervous about doing that.
Were you?
Yeah, but I was good at acting at university, and then I lost my mojo with it, really, and got... and. Well, I worked with people who were horrible to me, and so I kind of just I thought I couldn't do it anymore. Aww. Yeah.
Have you had to stage kiss?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you use his tongue?
You know, accidentally, I had to stage kiss. I had a stage kiss. Oh, this is definitely accidental. I had to stage kiss Emma Kennedy once, and I accidentally, I think in rehearsal, I got over enthusiastic. I didn't mean to put my tongue in, but my tongue went in, and I wouldn't do that with Emma Kennedy. It's like that'd be like sucking off your own dad in a dark room. No, I didn't. Apart from that, no. But sometimes there's a girl in that play that was at university. There was a girl in that play who I really was in love with, and I had to kiss her. And I asked her out. And she said, "I've got a boyfriend."
Oh.
Yeah. I did have some success with women at some point.
Have you
had to kiss people and put your tongue in?
I did one short film when I had to kiss a guy. Yes. And you know what? I quite enjoyed it.
Did you? Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love it now just as an excuse to kiss somebody else.
Yeah, just, you know.
My wonderful
but
wife.
I find it really weird that it doesn't feel like anything. It feels like a sort of sponge or something.
What's why is it a society we don't mind filming someone kissing someone on screen?
Yeah.
But if you fuck someone on screen, that is porn.
Yeah. You're right.
It's because of the ugliness of cocks. That's what it is.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. If you say that in the middle of filming a kissing scene.
But like, this is
that's
your
not
way
the way
of coming
to
go. On to
Why
someone?
Is this all right? Am I not fucking it?
I mean, we should fuck each other, right?
How come you're allowed to kiss someone and you're not allowed to bury them?
Like, my boyfriend slash husband didn't mind me kissing a man on screen, but if I'd have, like, stuck my finger up his ass, which he would have been annoyed.
Yeah, if it hadn't been in the script, I think the guy would have probably been quite annoyed.
Yeah, you're not being Robin Williams by improvising that on set.
Oh, I'll just slide this up here.
No, it's not how you do it.
But it's just rarely part of the plot, is it? Isn't it?
Well, I just mean, where's the line drawn? Why is it okay to pretend to kiss someone by actually kissing them, but you can't pretend to finger someone's ass by actually putting your finger up the ass?
You're genuinely angry about this, aren't you?
Just don't know why is what is. It feels really arbitrary.
What films have you done where you had to
put what films have you watched where you've been thinking?
Why are we not literally putting my finger up your ass? It's not in the script. I'm your dad. We're not even filming this. It's a very good question. I think you could.
Yeah.
Yeah, put it to Equity.
Okay, good. Since your last one, you've done a lot of stand-up shows. You did a stand-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, how's that been going?
Fine, thanks.
Yeah, good. Yeah. How, you lost. You have a dog called Jerk.
I did. No. And then she died. Yeah. And then, but I didn't write. I didn't write a show about her. No, I didn't. I wrote a show that was just called Jerk. And then some people thought, "Oh no, I'm going to go and I'm going to cry the whole way through it." Well, you are, but not for the reasons you fucking think. It's going to be quite a miserable thing, but it's not because of dog death. No. I wrote a musical in it though, mm-hmm. that was supposedly written by my dead dog. It was literally the last thing she did before she died, in the same way that the last thing that David Bowie did before he died wasn't release Black Star. It was actually he wrote and made a musical that was absolutely fucking awful and no one wants to talk about it.
Oh my God, it was so bad.
Fucking awful.
Did you see Lazarus? No. It was at the end of the musical Lazarus, they bring up a picture of David Bowie and they sort of like go, you know, like in theatre, they do that to the tech.
Yeah.
And then they do it to the picture of David Bowie. And it made me really.
They should do that in all theatre shows.
Pointing.
It made me slightly glad he was dead. That's how bad Lazarus was.
Yeah. I mean,
really
you wouldn't have wanted
terrible.
David Bowie to have seen that. So it's good he's dead. Okay. But then again, that's how I felt about my one-man show. So yeah. I wish I was dead.
I'm glad my dog isn't alive to see
yeah.
this.
David Bowie died at a really good time, didn't he? I mean, he...
Right,
he
at the end of his life.
It. Well...
Nailed it.
He didn't see Brexit, yeah. Trump, you know...
Yeah, well, that could happen to all of us.
Didn't see the Nazis coming back.
The Last Jedi.
You do sort of do think that maybe he was keeping everything all right, and now he's gone.
What is a natural death?
Well, you know when you're it's just the end of your life, and it's a very good question. We've been discussing this over the last few days, because.
I think being eaten by foxes is a natural death.
See, that's not natural causes. It's not natural.
No, we decided it wasn't.
No, because, a heart attack is, that's natural causes.
Is it nature?
It's nature.
Foxes are nature. If you got eaten by a fox, I think that's natural causes.
All right, but put it this way, like, if you got eaten by foxes...
Yeah.
And
no, just one fox.
All right, one fox then. Why blame the whole community?
But it
well, I think the fox community should all come out and stand up against it. You're absolutely right. Well, just one fox, okay? One lone wolf fox. eats your face off.
Yeah.
And then your husband/boyfriend David, right? He'll go, oh, well, I'll still have an open casket funeral because she died of natural causes.
Yeah.
Then even fewer people are going to come to your funeral.
Keep the cost of the wake down.
Are you doing a show in Edinburgh in 2019?
I am. I'm doing a show called The Idiots at the beautiful Stand Comedy Club. And it's a show about how we have a choice in life. We have a choice of being Iggy Pop or not being Iggy Pop, and how come only one person in the world has chosen the right way?
Good. Mm. And you guys going to be not going to be in Edinburgh? No podcast in Edinburgh?
No podcast. No. I'm hoping
it's the new thing. Podcast. You know, live podcast. It's the new thing.
Mm. Are you going up?
Yeah, I'm doing my podcast.
You doing
for the whole month?
Yeah, I'm well for 20 days.
That's tiring.
Not as tiring as doing the podcast and a stand-up show, which is what I always used to do. I'm just going to do the podcast. Piss easy.
Makes much more sense.
But you're older now. So
I am older. Yeah.
Just the same level.
And also, I don't have to write a show. It's a brilliant thing about podcasts.
Yeah. I was meant to be doing a play, and I realised that I had no time to write it. So rather than writing it in July and then losing £50,000, I just decided not to do it.
Okay, is that
no,
what I
do? No, it wasn't a dig at you at all.
It's what I did, though. The last time I was there. Did you lose £50,000 on yours?
No, I made £20.
Okay. Good. I only lost 45, so...
Oh, okay.
Why aren't you doing a stand-up show, Richard?
Yeah.
I haven't got any ideas left. Well, also...
No one has.
I was just going to say, I was taking some time off stand-up, and I wanted to take some time off touring so I could spend some time with my beautiful children and lovely wife. And give my wife a chance to do live work.
How did you get your lovely wife?
I don't know.
It's amazing. No, she's really lovely.
I've got an amazing penis. I just have to show it.
We're going to have to see that. Yeah,
is it really long?
Yes, yes, yes.
Like so long that you can sort of
lasso
offer
someone.
It without even
you
being...
You can just lasso something. You tie an end in it and then...
Oh, like the olden days.
Like a sheriff.
We fell in love, you know. It was a wonderful thing. she's up doing her podcast, Drunk Women Solving Crime, which is very good.
For the whole month?
For the first week or so.
Okay.
So we're taking our family up. We're going up together, and it should be about old enough to... Well, my daughter's old enough to have fun up there.
Are you renting a ridiculously expensive house?
We will do. We haven't got one yet. But it will be ridiculously expensive. I think the ones we've looked at so far for three bedrooms are £6,000.
Jesus fucking Christ.
What? Oh my God.
That's
who the fuck likes their kids that much?
No, if they like their kids more, they could all be in the same room together.
That's true.
Mate, £4,000, I'll get rid of them. That's £2,000. That's £2,000, you're saying.
£2,000 this year. That's true. Still need one room and it would still be, yeah. Yeah. It's lovely. It'd be lovely, though. It'd be nice to be up there. Are you looking forward to it? We could hang out, Michael. I know, I've got kids. I've got to go home. It's nearly time for your
cab.
Oh,
is it really in his upwell?
Yeah, it's gone fast, isn't it?
Blimey.
I'll just see if it's here. Because I gave them line. Oh, they haven't texted me.
Keep this in the podcast. This is good.
Yeah, that's good.
This should have been the whole podcast.
Yeah.
Start from, is the cab's on its way?
And Margaret, I could ask you in turn, how did you manage to get with Dan Tetzel? A man marry Dan Tetzel?
I know.
Look at Dan Tetzel.
Well, because he's a Nazi. Well, he is.
Margaret's had children with tiny Andrew Collins. That is the... That is... They're tiny, tiny Andrew Collins.
Yes, that's what he does in bed. Yes, yes. No.
Says, aside, I don't love you. those are the days. anything else you want to talk about?
My husband's not a Nazi, and I love Michael and Danielle very much.
Aww,
I feel mean.
I had written sad nipples on my hands.
Sad nipples?
Never came up.
No. So?
Were you trying to predict what I'd ask?
Yeah. I'm just going to say that I think you should definitely listen to Do the Right Thing if you've not listened to Do the Right Thing. It's a really good panel show podcast that if you like the Radio 4 stuff, then you'll like this because it's like that, but us saying cunt a lot. And if you don't like Radio 4, then that's great. You like this because we say cunt a lot.
It is very good. And I think it's, you know, don't worry about money. That will money will come if you just dream long enough.
Money's
no important. If you have money, you just have to spend it on an expensive flat in Edinburgh. That's what will happen. So don't do that. Just live in a tent in Edinburgh and think, save myself £6,000. I've earned £6,000 this year.
£6,000, that is. For 1 month?
Yeah. Yeah. Depressing, isn't it? Not for the person who owns that fucking flat, it isn't. Happy days for them.
I would fuck every electrical appliance in that house. I'd get my £6,000's worth. I'd spunk everywhere.
Do you know what? Genuinely, like, when I was younger, after the age of 22, I would occasionally, as I think we all have done, sleep with someone so you had somewhere to spend the night. You do that. You know, or at least give them a tickle. Now I'm thinking, you did that for the whole month. You are saving a lot of money.
Yeah.
Probably more than you'd earn being an actual prostitute.
True,
slash sex worker.
On the other hand, I can walk around Edinburgh looking for people who haven't got anywhere to stay and they can come stay at my house. And then they have to have sex with me. Oh, my wife's there, damn it.
It was a really good plan otherwise.
It's really, I just had it in that moment. I thought this is going to be the best Edinburgh.
Yeah. Do you have that? Do you have those flickers of remembering what it was like to be single?
Yes.
Because
That's all I think about.
You'll have a flicker on the way home.
No, just every now and then I'll think about trying to pull.
I mean, it's kind of awful, and I can't imagine. I just can't imagine how you did it. You know, I just can't imagine how you just kissed someone. It's so weird, like a stranger. It's so such a weird thing to do. And they go, yeah, I wouldn't know what to do, and I generally wouldn't know how to do it.
No. I think if my...
You give it a go.
I would give it, absolutely give it. If my wife sadly died, haven't really thought about it.
Or joyously died. Yeah.
It's a blessed relief for her.
Imagine that, she just celebratorily died. It's phenomenal.
Eventually someone we talk about dying is going to die and then this is it's going to take on a whole different thing.
It's going to be a very sad podcast.
Yeah, that's all right. But we're happy at this moment.
Oh, it's going to be me, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then we'll get Dan Tetzel on to talk about how he kisses someone now.
Yeah. Could you leave a message? If it is you, could you leave a message for Dan saying how you're happy for him to find his new partner?
Oh, no,
just so he's got
him.
That.
Yeah. I've told him that already. Right, yeah.
You're happy.
It's in your wedding vows.
Move on.
Move on. I do. Oh, wow. That's quick.
Oh dear. Well, look, let's. You're right. Listen to Do the Right Thing. Yeah. We can get Danielle in a cab if it's turned up. If it's
not,
I'll get you a tube ticket.
Woo!
If not, you can come and stay at my house.
I've got to go get my taxi. Bye.
Going in a taxi. It's not here, but going into it. Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, Do the Right Thing! You have been listening to Rahulastapo with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Do the Right Thing podcast. Thank you to Pest for playing this music. Thank you to the British Comedy Guide. They're very nice fellas. ACAS, everyone at the Leicester Square Theatre, and everyone at Go Faster Strike as well. I'm in debt to my producer, Ben Walker. This is a Sky Potato Fuzz and Go Faster Strike production. Go to rahulastapo.co.uk to find out more about this podcast.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free.
warbyparker.com/covered.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Thanks for listening. Go to gofasterstripe.com for all your Rich Herring download and book needs. Go to richherring.com/gigs to find out if Can I Have My Ball Back is coming near to you. And please listen to as many podcasts on this feed as you possibly can and make your family and friends and children and strangers, make them listen too. Do get consent from everyone before you make them listen, though. All right, thanks for listening. Go and listen to another one. Bye-bye.